Could I have get more volunteers for quotes? Thank you. Okay, this is a new year, so as a presidency, we decided, last year we talked about the Relief Society theme, and each month each of us chose a different section of the theme. This year, we decided that we wanted to go through Daughters in My Kingdom with each of you. We feel this is a very inspired book, and it's the history of the Relief Society. And as we'll go through, I think you'll understand exactly why we need to study the history of our Relief Society and the importance behind Relief Society. So, Daughters in My Kingdom, I don't remember, it was published a couple years ago, I believe. And it's been put together for our use personally as well as collectively in the Relief Society. It's a resource we can go to when we... I wish this would rise just a little bit. I feel like I'm hunching over. Sorry.
Pull the whole podium. No, the whole podium for
you. Ooh. Okay, thanks. It's a resource that we can use as we prepare lessons or as we go visiting teaching or in our talks in church. It's just a great resource to have. And if you don't have one of these, we will have you sign a paper. I just made that up. Renee, can we have him sign a paper? Because I think it's important that every sister have one of these. Thanks, Renee. Sorry. Putting you on the spot. So to begin with, I just would like to start by reading the First Presidency message that they have at the beginning of this book. It says, "Dear sisters, in grateful recognition of the blessing of Relief Society and the lives of church members, we have directed the preparation of Daughters in My Kingdom, the history and work of Relief Society. We pray that this book will be a blessing to you and to those whose lives you touch. We express our love and admiration for you and recognize that you are beloved daughters of Heavenly Father and dedicated disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are part of a great worldwide sisterhood. Guided by your motto, charity never faileth, you help strengthen families and build up the kingdom of God on the earth. We encourage you to study this book and allow its timeless truths and inspiring examples to influence your lives. We testify that the Lord has restored the fullness of the gospel through the prophet Joseph Smith and that the Relief Society is an important part of the restoration. Relief Society sisters have a glorious heritage. We pray that this volume will be an important resource for preserving that heritage." So to begin, we're each going to take a chapter each month. So this month I will be covering chapters 1 and 2, and then we'll continue through the year. And by the end of the year, we'll have gone through this whole book together. And I think that will be a neat experience to hear what you already know about the history of Relief Society, as well as what you do now to spread the gospel through Relief Society. So to begin, the preface, it says, "Something extraordinary." We'll begin by reading this quote number one. Who has number one? I may not have handed it out. Oh, sorry. I sent you on an errand. Sorry.
Okay, it says, "Relief Society was established to help prepare daughters of God for the blessings of eternal life. The purposes of Relief Society are to increase faith and personal righteousness, strengthen families and homes, and provide relief by seeking out and helping those in need."
Great, thank you. So as we go through this preface, this first beginning part, I want us to think about why we have Relief Society and the purposes behind it, as she just read, that the purposes are to increase our faith and personal righteousness. And in the back of your mind, think of ways that Relief Society has helped you establish these characteristics and qualities and helped increase your faith. So first of all, why should we study the history and work of Relief Society? Let's think about that for a minute.
think, looking at my past, here in the States, there's so many, especially here in Utah, you know, there's so many, and the church is so big, that we have so many to lean on. But if you go to other places where the branches are really small, and you might have many in my home branch, there are times where they only have three sisters in Relief Society, it's good to read and know that there are other places around in the world where the church is just as small, that people are just as faithful, and to not give up when you see the same two, three sisters every single Sunday for years.
That's great. Thank you. Any other comments?
I think it's helpful to know who we are and what we can become.
Excellent. Thank you. Yes.
Think about a lot of the trials of early church saints, you know, the sisters that they had to go through, and just the faith and the strength that they had, and what we can gain from the life that they lived.
Thank you.
Well, I think basically we need to remember that it's inspired, and if we know the history of it, we know that it was inspired. It was born out of a bunch of women. We're all born with that innate ability inside of us to want to help, and it was a bunch of women who wanted to help, and they just started helping. And Joseph Smith saw that as an example and went to the Lord, and the Lord had a higher specific purpose for that, and so he organized it. And it was organized under inspiration. And so for me, that's a testimony builder, to know that this organization is inspired by our Heavenly Father, that Heavenly Father has a purpose specifically for me as a sister, just as he has a purpose for the priesthood. And so for me, when I look back at the history of it and knowing that God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Relief Society functions in the same way that it did in the beginning. And that's comforting for me to know, having been able to be exposed to the history of it, to know that this is inspired because it doesn't change. It's the same specifically for me as a woman.
Great. Thank you so much. Are there any other comments? Great. Can I have quote number two read, please?
President Spencer W. Kimball, the 12th president of the church, said, "We know that women who have deep appreciation for the past will be concerned about shaping a righteous future."
Excellent. Thank you. A study of this book can help women increase their appreciation for the past and their understanding of their spiritual heritage, just as you have all been saying. And through a study of the history, Latter-day Saints can see that our Heavenly Father knows his daughters, just as Sir Teresa Ellis was saying, that he loves them and that he trusts them with sacred responsibilities and that he guides them as they fulfill those responsibilities. So it is important that we study this book personally. There, the value of this book, and under the section it says, the value of this book is not so much in the dates and facts provided, but in the purposes, the principles, and patterns it teaches. So it's not just a history book. It is a history book, but if there's more behind it, we need to look behind the dates and past all that and see that they started it all for us, and they are the examples of how we should pattern and live our lives as Righteous Relief Society members. And as individual Relief Society sisters, study and refer to this book again and again, they will see that the heritage of the Relief Society is not just about women who lived in the past. It is also about women all over the world today who make and keep covenants, just as Sister Shirley was saying. We also should study, not only personally, this book, but also collectively as a Relief Society, as well as in our families. The influence of this book is meant to extend beyond the Relief Society meetings. Families may study and discuss the examples and teachings in the book together. Relief Society sisters may share the book with their friends. Church members of all ages may use the book as a reference in lessons, talks, and councils meetings, as we mentioned earlier. But more importantly, I really like this part, the beginning part, where it says the value of this book is not so much in the dates and facts, but in the purposes, principles, and patterns it teaches. So the goal of this year is that we will be able to understand these principles and the purposes behind Relief Society more fully, and that we'll be able to pattern our lives more correctly after Christ and after what they established at the beginning. So now to begin chapter one, Relief Society, a restoration of an ancient pattern. What do you think that means, a restoration of an ancient pattern?
I think that's in time with the rise of
Great, thank you.
It didn't really come out and say it, but the women were important in the gospel.
Great, thank you. Are there any other comments?
Yes. Well, you think that, okay, the motto of the Relief Society is charity never faileth, and you think of the women that are in the scriptures, Ruth, Naomi, Mary, and her sister, and their lives were all about charity and serving and taking care of. And so our Relief Society is patterned after the strength and the example of the women.
Excellent. Yes, that's wonderful. Are there any other comments before I move on? Great. Can I have quote number 3 read?
Although the name may be of modern date, the institution is of ancient origin. We are told by our martyred prophet that the same organization existed in the church anciently.
Just as these sisters have saying, yes, at the time of Christ, they had, the women were a great influence in the ministry of the Savior and great disciples of the Savior. And Elder James E. Talmage of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles said, "The world's greatest champion of women and womanhood is Jesus the Christ." And that's really comforting to think about. The Lord understands us. He is our champion. He is our advocate in this age where women feel the need that, what is it called? My mind just went blank. But they feel like, what am I trying to say? Does anyone know what I'm trying to say?
Okay. I'm thinking you're trying to say that today we fight for the women.
Yes, thank you.
We accept that might not be the role that we're supposed to have.
Yes, thank you. Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. The Savior taught women in multitudes and as individuals, on the street and by the seashore, at the well and in their homes. He showed loving kindness toward them and healed them and their family members. In many parables, he told stories of women engaged in ordinary activities. He demonstrated deep familiarity with women's lives and drew timeless gospel lessons from their everyday experiences. He forgave them. He wept with them. He had compassion on them in their specific circumstances as daughters, wives, homemakers, mothers, and widows. He appreciated them and ennobled them. Even in excruciating pain on the cross, the Savior expressed concern for his mother, who by then was very likely a widow in need of watch care, and the first person to whom he appeared after his resurrection was a woman. So these are some examples of the importance of women to the Savior. And female disciples in the New Testament, we mentioned some examples of women. What are some other examples of women in the New Testament that were important in the Savior's ministry, or true disciples of Christ? We mentioned Mary.
Mary and Martha.
Excellent, yep, Mary and Martha. Can you briefly explain their story?
I just think of when the Savior was there, and one was trying to get dinner ready, and the other was at his feet. And which are you? Are you Mary or are you Martha?
Excellent. Yeah, one was caring for the Savior temporally. They needed that. His apostles needed temporal care as well as spiritual enlightenment, that Mary was receiving gospel truth and learning that and sharing that, her testimonies. That's wonderful. Thank you. What other examples?
Yes. Rebecca at the well.
Great.
David Moore.
Thank you. What are some other examples that we can think of? We can turn to, if I wrote it down. So if we can go to Luke 8:1-3, they're just briefly mentioned in here. Luke 8:1-3. And it's just a brief reference, but it's just it's just showing that there are more women in the New Testament who played an influence in the Savior's ministry and who were true disciples of Christ. It says, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of, I don't know how to say his name, Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. So those women ministered unto the Lord and temporally cared for him. And this is just another example of discipleship, women discipleship in the New Testament. There's also Tabitha, or also known as Dorcas, in Joppa, where she made clothes for the women in need. So there are multiple examples of female disciples in the New Testament. And I find it very fascinating and strengthening to know that this was our Relief Society today, the things that we're doing today, and in that the early saints did, they did anciently. And it is patterned after that ancient pattern. Great. If we can have quote number 4.
The cultivation of Christ-like qualities is a demanding and relentless task. It is not for the seasonal worker or for those who will not stretch themselves again and again.
Great. Thank you. So the women involved in the Old Testament, or the New Testament, as well as the Old Testament, but specifically the New Testament, a lot was required of them, as well as our early saints, a lot was required of them, and a lot is required of us today to step up and to live righteously and to be willing to serve others, and it's not always convenient, is it, to go out and take a meal? Yes.
I think about this when I read this quote the very first time. I'm like, yeah, it is demanding. It is relentless. And we are constantly, if we're trying to do better, we are constantly stretching ourselves. I'll get to a point where I'll think, I finally mastered that thing. And then the Lord will just go, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
And we start on a new little journey that's just as demanding and relentless and stretching as the one previous. So, yeah, it's not for the lazy person or the seasonal worker.
Mm-mm. We need to be constantly doing. Thank you, Janelle, for that. Are there any other comments about this quote that you would like to share? I like the beginning part, where it says the cultivation of Christ-like qualities. Cultivation, meaning you're working on it, you're building up on it. It's not all of a sudden I have these qualities. It's you're trying to. Wow, I'm not focusing today. You're trying to work on these and trying to get these and build up on it. It's not that you already have them. So it's all a constant thing you'll be working on. Yes.
I'm just thinking when they were building the Nauvoo Temple, when that was the Relief Society was made.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah,
but anyway, the women were already making shirts and doing things and making themselves, as my grandmother used to say, make yourself useful, and that's what they did, and they were doing everything they could to help with the building of the temple.
Excellent, thanks, and that leads us right into the female disciples in the latter days. Thank you for that. The women in the ancient church were dignified and noble, needed and valued. They served others, increased in personal holiness, and participated in the great work of saving souls. These patterns have been restored in the latter days through the organization of the Relief Society. The prophet Joseph Smith declared, "The church," I hope I'm not reading someone's quote. No, okay. The church was never perfectly organized until the women were thus organized. Sister Eliza R. Snow, the Second Relief Society General President, reiterated this teaching. She said, "Although the name may be of modern date, the institution of ancient origin, we were told by our modern prophet that the same organization existed in the church anciently." And I know we read that quote already, but I think it's important to reiterate, just as she reiterated the prophet, that this has been established since ancient times. Could I have a quote number 5 read?
President Joseph F. Smith, the 6th president of the church, said,
This organization is divinely made, divinely authorized, divinely instituted, divinely ordained of God to minister for the salvation of the souls of women and of men.
Great, thank you. And it continues on to a group of Relief Society sisters present when it's a snow. Oh, who has quote number 6?
I do.
Great, thanks.
President Lorenzo Snow, the 5th president of the church, said, "You have ever been found on the side of the priesthood, ready to strengthen their hands and to do your part in helping to advance the interests of the kingdom of God. And as you have shared in these labors, so you will most certainly share in the triumph of the work and in the exaltation and glory which the Lord will give his faithful
children." Great, thank you so much. And Sister Julie Beck, the 15th Relief Society General President, taught, "Through Relief Society, we practice being disciples of Christ. We learn what he would have us learn, we do what he would have us do, and we become what he would have us become." And I know we're quoting a lot from the book and a lot from our great leaders of the church, and it's because they put it so elegantly. As you can see, I fumble through my words and things, and I'm very passionate about this topic, and I feel I'm not able to express it the way that, sorry. So I'm not able to. Wow, this is annoying. Sorry. This isn't in my notes anywhere. I don't feel like I can express. How important the Relief Society really is. I myself am not a good example. I don't. There's a lot to work on, I'll just say that. But I really want to get the point across that there's a lot we as sisters need to do. I was sitting there trying to come up with my lesson last night. See, that's how great I am. I started last night. That's probably why I'm like this. I was struggling. I was questioning my own testimony about the Relief Society a little bit, and trying to think, wow, I'm sorry. Trying to think, why do we have to have an extra meeting? Why do we have to have Relief Society activities that takes me away from home one more night? Why do we have to do this? Why do we have to do that? And I was complaining, and I was humbled, obviously, blowing. This is an important organization. It was established anciently, as I've been saying, and I keep saying that, but it was divinely organized by our prophet, Joseph Smith. It's something that we need to take seriously. We need to develop our faith, strengthen our homes and families, as we'll talk about. We need to be anxiously engaged. We need to be excited about it. It's not always exciting. But it's something we need to take seriously, and we need to recognize the blessings that we can gain from it and from each other as we come together and are more unified and learn of our Savior together. It's not just another organization. If that was the case, Joseph Smith, as we learn about, I will get to it, maybe, about the organization of it. The women got together and said, "Joseph, we have this written down. This is what we want to do." At the time, a lot of women would create these organizations, these mini organizations. And so some women, like Betty was saying, who were involved in helping with the Nauvoo Temple, they wanted to get together and make a sewing group. And they wrote down all these laws that they would have, and they presented it to Joseph Smith, so excited. Like, "Joseph, look! We're going to be our own little organization." And he said, well, this is good. I want to find that quote. He said, "This is good, and it's been accepted. Your offering is accepted of the Lord, but he has something better for you. I will organize the women under the priesthood after the pattern of the priesthood." And that's the key, sisters. there are some great organizations out there, but they don't have the priesthood behind it. We have the priesthood behind it. We need to work closely with them, and we need to take this seriously, the Relief Society seriously. When we have an opportunity to serve, let's take it. And that includes visiting teaching. I'm terrible at that. I need to get better. Janelle can testify. But we really need to step up, and I don't know. We just really need to take it more seriously. I think we get lazy. Sorry to say that. I'm included in that. But I think we're getting lazy a little bit. Relief Society is just another meeting. Oh, that's just another activity. I already know how to do all that. I already know I have all those skills. Well, if you have those skills, attend the activity and help teach those around you. Sorry, I'm on my soapbox. From bawling to preaching, it's great. Did someone say pregnancy was like that? I don't know. Okay.
It is.
Anyways, sorry for that crazy tangent, but Sister Ellis, take it away.
You know, often when we think of the word Relief Society, we think of all the things that we have to do.
Yeah.
And the one blessing that Relief Society gives me is it offers me relief. And I come here, and I'm spiritually fed, and I'm encouraged, and I've learned things that I've never learned before, and I can't possibly offer relief to anybody else unless I get that relief for myself. And when I get that relief and I learn the things that I'm supposed to learn and the lessons that you teach, then I can retain a remission of my sins so that I can help people not just physically with all the work that you're talking about we have to do, but spiritually.
Yeah.
And that's an important part of Relief Society, but I cannot do that until I get relief for myself. And so Relief Society, if we quit looking at it as, oh, we've got to do this, it's just one more meeting, we've got to go this, but understand that I go to Relief Society to get relief so that I can offer relief to somebody else. And it doesn't seem so overwhelming, and it becomes an enjoyable experience instead of something that you dread.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your comment. Okay. I'm going to close. Leave you time for bearing of testimonies. I apologize for how all over I've been. I'm going to read two last quotes. One by President Boy Cade Packer of the Quorum of the Twelve. He said, "It is as obligatory upon a woman to draw into her life the virtues that are fostered by the Relief Society as it is an obligation for the men to build into their lives the patterns of character fostered by the priesthood." And I just really thought that was important. And then the last quote by our prophet Lorenzo Snow. We are learning from him this year. That's our manual for our second and third Sunday lessons. He said, "The future of the Relief Society is full of promise. As the church grows, its field of usefulness will be correspondingly enlarged, and it will be even more potent for good than it has been in the past. If all the sisters will rally to the support of the society, it will accomplish a mighty work and be a continued blessing unto the church." And I do have a testimony. I really do have a testimony of Relief Society and the importance. And that relief that Sister Ellis was talking about, I'm so grateful that you brought that up. Because really, it is a relief to be amongst such great women and to learn from you. And to know that you are so patient when I get up here and try to teach a lesson. And I'm grateful for this book. It's great to learn the history, and I'm really excited to study and share it with you throughout the year. And I do have a testimony of our Savior Jesus Christ, and that He is our advocate, and that He is the champion of women, and that He knows each of us. And I'm grateful for the gospel and for our prophets today. And I leave my testimony with you in the name of Jesus Christ. And now you have time for testimonies until.
About quarter till, I think.
Oh, 5 minutes for testimony. So I didn't leave you much time.